You are listening to the Drayton Reformed Church podcast. We're glad that you've tuned in today. You can find us online at DraytonReformed.com, or you can search for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We hope you're blessed by this episode and that you have a wonderful day.
If you would please turn in your Bibles to John 12, verses 20 to 26, verses 20 to 26. There are Bibles in the pews, or I will also have the words up on the screen momentarily. John 12, it's in the New Testament. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. Go with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of John, the Gospel of John. And as we come to God's word, let's turn to him and ask him to open our eyes to his truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this joyful, life-filled day. God, thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to ourselves, but you have come for us, and that you have left your Holy Spirit to help us to understand your truth, to help us to get to know you more, to better understand, God, who you are and how, God, you want us to live for you. So we ask your Holy Spirit to fall upon this place, to anoint this place, this room, and give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 26. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, you may be thinking, with all the celebrations we've had this morning, it's been wonderful, everybody joining together, if you were able to, before the service, all these celebrations, it seems unfitting that we turn our minds to a chapter of the Bible which seems to be rather full of death. Certainly, much more so than life. But I assure you, the truth of today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, will come shining through all the bleakness. So let's get to this passage, shall we? We read, again, in verses 20, it says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' It's the Passover festival in Jerusalem, and this took place midweek of what we know as Holy Week. That was last week, began last week on Palm Sunday, and it ends on Easter Sunday. And the Jewish people have come for this festival from all over to remember and celebrate God's mighty miracles in rescuing them from brutal slavery centuries before. The festival, these streets are swarming with people. And there happens to be some Greeks, people from Greece, who came for the festival. No doubt, they had heard all the buzz on their way into the city about a man named Lazarus. You see, Lazarus had been raised from the dead by a rabbi, an amazing itinerant teacher from Nazareth. And these Greeks, they were intrigued, and they really, really wanted to see Jesus. So they sought out one of the disciples, Philip. And perhaps because Philip is a Greek name, they thought, well, he might be able to help them. Sir, we really want to see Jesus. And Philip isn't sure what to do. Not because of the request, but because of who makes the request. Until that moment, Jesus' ministry had been primarily directed to the Jews, and unsure what to do, Philip finds a fellow disciple, Andrew. They go together to find Jesus, and when they find Jesus, they inform him that some Greeks want to meet him. Philip and Andrew know from experience that Jesus considered no one a nuisance. And certainly, Jesus would want to meet people who traveled such a great distance, but the reply that Jesus gives them, it surprises them. He says this in response. He says, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And we can imagine the puzzled looks on the faces of Philip and Andrew. Jesus doesn't even say a word about meeting these visitors who so badly want to see him. Instead, what he does is he views their request to see him as the very sign he's been waiting for. Now listen closely. These Greeks were just the first of people from every race and nation who would one day call on Jesus' name as their Lord and Savior. And their longing to see Jesus was a clear sign that Jesus no longer belonged exclusively to the Jews. He belonged to the world, which was asking to see him, represented by these Greeks. And then Jesus begins to talk in riddles about farming. He says this, "Very truly I tell you," basically he says, listen very closely. "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And so Jesus explains a basic agricultural concept to his listeners with which they are very familiar. A single kernel of wheat, if not planted, remains just that, a single tiny seed. It will eventually spoil. And the point Jesus is making is that there will simply be no harvest if you don't plant that grain of wheat in God's good earth. You won't get anything without a certain amount of death and burial. Now, I feel somewhat over my head when it comes to farming. And that's especially true living in this wonderful agricultural community of ours. Add to the fact that many of you here are farmers or have an agricultural background, and I just feel way over my head. But I will venture out just nonetheless. So to have any sense of comfortability addressing anything to do with farmers, particularly how wheat grows and what kind of yields you can expect, I figured I better ask a few of you, and I will leave you unnamed. So here's what I learned, which helped me to understand to a much greater extent what I see take place each year in the sprawling acreage around these parts. So as many of you know, and some of you are just itching to do, I am sure, as the weather's warming up, a farmer harrows the soil to break it up and smooth it out. He then digs a shallow trench to create a bed for the seeds. And finally, he drops the wheat seeds into the trench. Am I okay so far? Covers them with the loosened soil, prays for rain, and waits for the Lord of the harvest to go to work. In Jesus' day, farmers would drop one grain of wheat at a time, and remarkably, it's still done that way, only with way more efficiency with the aid of large machinery. But still, one single grain at a time drops into the soil. And that single grain lies there in the heart of the earth, gathering moisture and nutrients to itself, and one day it sends tiny root hairs down into the soil. And then it shoots a stem upward toward the surface. And the result is remarkable, not only because a dead seed generates life, but especially because it generates so much life. Now, I was curious to know what kind of yield you would get based on how much seed was put down into an acre. And so I talked to one of you, and I was told that for winter wheat, that for an acre, approximately 4 bushels are planted. And what the farmer gets back in return floors me. Anywhere between 90 to 100 bushels. I'm okay so far? I'm really nervous talking about farming. And what the farmer gets back in return, I said, is 90 to 100 bushels. Now, I discovered this week that farmers in the Midwest of the U.S. who grew wheat for bread flour, their yield would be, in the way they convert it, was about 2,500 loaves of bread. Just think, this annual miracle saves whole nations from famine. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now come with me back to Holy Week. Let's move forward a couple days to the Friday we call Good Friday, and Jesus is sentenced to death by crucifixion. After Jesus shouts his final words, "It is finished," he hangs his head and dies. He is placed in a borrowed tomb. The religious authorities of the day, who orchestrated Jesus' arrest, trial, and capital punishment, ask Pilate, the governor of the occupying Romans, that the tomb be sealed with a stone and also to place a guard at the tomb. Pilate grants them the request and encourages them to make the tomb as secure as they could. They do the best they can, but it wasn't enough. Their best efforts are futile. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus was speaking about himself. Jesus is the kernel of wheat. He had to die, and it was of his own doing. There would be no spiritual harvest apart from the cross. They did the best they could to keep Jesus buried, but it was hopeless. And it is still hopeless today. People can try as they might, but you just can't keep Jesus down. You can't keep Jesus buried. Some may use physical force, or today it might look like academic ridicule or media blackout or political persecution or religious distortion. It never works, for Jesus will always break out. He can break out because he wasn't forced in. Jesus said, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." When it looks like Jesus is buried for good, Jesus is getting ready to break through the darkness of death. And when he was ready, he came out in power. He, the living vine, trampled, twisted, dead, burst forth with the first fruits of life. I mean, if that doesn't get you excited, And Jesus uses the image of a seed to illustrate the greatest spiritual truth. There can be no glory without suffering. There can be no fruitful life without death. There can be no victory without surrender. It's what makes Friday so good. A Christ who dies on a cross may be seen by the world as a God who has failed. But what do we see when we see Jesus? Yes, we may see a collapsed figure, but we also see a God who keeps his promises. We may see a mortal who died, but we also see a God who triumphed. We may see the tragedy, but we also see the triumph. We find glory where others may find disaster, because in God's mighty agriculture, Jesus' body sown like a single grain into the earth and sends its roots down and it stalks up until it bursts from the ground with power to feed the hungry souls of the earth. How wonderful it is this morning to revel in God's grace upon grace that pours from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's not all Jesus says in this passage. Because the same Lord who speaks of his death goes on to speak of ours. Yes, he will be the first fruits of this cycle of life out of death. But God isn't going to reap the whole harvest without dropping a lot of other grains into the earth too. Jesus remarks, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." It seems that Jesus wants to share the glory of the cross. We may think this might be a kind of glory on which we'd like to take a pass, actually. Maybe let Jesus take care of the dying part and we'll just show up for the resurrection. Maybe get some of the new life while still hanging on to our old one. Get humility and feel pretty proud of it. Get gratitude for God's good gifts and also restrict the distribution of it. However, Jesus wants us to go down into the soil that will cause new life to spring up 20-fold. But we keep clinging to our old life, don't we? Jesus says, "You're like a grain of wheat." You know, wheat is a cultivated grass. And for thousands of years, people have cultivated those strains in which the kernels cling to the head of the stalk. And we understand if the kernels are loose on the head of a wheat stalk, the wind's just going to blow and just blow them off. And so for centuries, farmers have sown the kind of wheat in which the kernels stick to the head. And that's the kind of wheat Jesus is talking about. And he says, we're like a kernel that clings to the spike of its old life. But the trouble is, there isn't any future there. There's no glory there. There is no miracle of multiplication there. To get food from wheat, you have to thresh the grain off the head. The grain of wheat dies not by falling into the ground. It dies by being stripped from the head of the stalk. To get bread, you have to thresh some kernels. To get wine, you have to crush some grapes. To get a new life in union with Jesus Christ, the old life has to be buried. We don't get life, and we don't give life without some dying. The gospel says that not even Jesus got a resurrection without a death. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And so it goes, God wants to plant you in a seedbed where there is a dying and rising with Jesus, where arrogance dies and humility rises, where complacency dies and joy in the gospel rises, where a critical spirit dies and a more celebration spirit rises. And here's some of the fruit we'll see. We will listen before we speak. We will pray before we worry. We will grieve for a sheep without a shepherd. We will celebrate when people go out with love in their hearts and the gospel on their lips. We will hunger for God's truth and desire to share that truth with others. We will want to be peacemakers. And when we offend someone, we will confess it. And when we've been offended, at some point, we will forgive it. That's some of the fruit of the harvest. And we can be sure God is bringing in a harvest. We as a community were shocked when earlier this past week we received news of John Ford's passing. John was a single grain of wheat. And that grain of wheat was planted in the seedbed of Drayton. A single grain of wheat that produced a beautiful harvest. Somebody fittingly described John as being the ambassador of Drayton. John was a genuinely kind person. You know, he never had things to give to people, but what he gave was his friendship. He touched so many with his words of kindness and how he loved God. I heard several times this week of how often he would speak about God, about heaven, or what God was on earth doing with the weather. Now, I thought maybe he was just talking about God to me because I'm a pastor. But that's who John was. And we see the overwhelming, loving response of a community to his passing. Just go on Facebook. What a bumper crop for the kingdom of God. From just a single grain of wheat. Truly, truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.